Welcome everyone to part two of this week's episode. In this part, we're going to talk about the NFC conference, which is considered the weaker conference. Now, last year, they said the NFC East conference was the worst conference, and yet every team was either 500 or better last year. Three out of the four teams made the playoffs, and three out of the four teams won a playoff game. Isn't that crazy? Now, this division has two teams that are considered Super Bowl contenders coming out of the NFC conference. One team is actually considered trending down, even though it won nine games. Right now, DraftKings has them at 7.5 at betting in terms of over and under in terms of wins. The NFC North does not have Aaron Rodgers for the first time in more than 10 seasons. Tom Brady is gone from the Buccaneers. David Carr is now with the Saints. Sam Darnold is the new backup. Trey Lance is gone. He's no longer the future of the 49ers. And Jimmy Garoppolo, Jimmy G, is gone from the 49ers. So let's get into it. Let's see who I think wins these divisions in the NFC conference, who I think maybe even improved, etc. and so forth. So the Eagles. So last year, the Eagles were the NFC conference winner. They also had the easiest conference championship ever. If you think about what they faced in the 49ers, they faced a 49ers team that had injuries. Not even one injury, but they were down to their fourth different quarterbacks playing in the season in the game. Can you tell me any other way how this team didn't have an easy game versus the 49ers? I mean, the life was sucked out of them. But they won. And this year, again, the Eagles are favored to not just win the NFC East, but possibly even repeat themselves in going to the NFC Conference Championship and possibly going to the playoffs. But taking a step back and looking at this team, I feel that the Eagles are weaker than last year. Last year, they had Miles Sanders, who had over 1,000 yards rushing, and versus re-signing him, they have committed themselves to a running back committee that would be led by DeAndre Swift and Rashad Penny. Now, I liked Miles Sanders. I liked what he did for the Eagles. Swift has never gained over 700 yards in his whole career. Penny is consistently hurt. So now, Houston, we got a problem. If both guys don't have the production out there, will this team have over 1,800 yards rushing? I mean, Jalen Hurts can help and add maybe 500 to 600 yards. But at the same time, they need both Penny and Swift to do that. To play better than they ever played. And especially got a guy like Rashad Penny to stay actually healthy. They lost their starting right guard to the Steelers. A small downgrade on the O-line. Their defense lost their two top linebackers in free agency. Now, at the beginning of camp, it was said that Morrow and Dean were going to be the replacement of White and Edwards. But yet, they probably performed so bad for what the Eagles had seen that the Eagles signed Cunningham and Miles Jack to help out the linebacking crew. Miles Jack was performing so well that Miles Jack was actually in the starting lineup, practicing a lot with the first team. And just as he was getting acclimated, just as he was playing games and talked about how he was potentially going to retire before 30 years old, Miles Jack is retired and has left the Eagles. Now the Eagles, other linebacker that they signed that they were going to put out there to start this upcoming season when this offseason started that they felt was a good, adequate replacement in Morrow, he has gotten released. So the linebacking crew is worse than last year when you can actually take a step back and think about it. It was almost getting Cunningham and Miles Jack is the equivalent of getting Joseph and the other guy. Oh my God, I forgot his name right now. But long story short, this is a team that showed that they weren't positive in the linebacking crew, and it got worse. Dean is first time starter. I don't know if a team that made the Super Bowl wants a first time starter in Dean, because Dean has to perform just as good as Edwards in order for him to be an adequate replacement. Cunningham has to perform just as good as White. And then again, let's just put it to another point of view. They're going into the season not just with a new offensive coordinator, but a new defensive coordinator. Now, they did have a good draft, and they managed yet again to make their drafts to surround Georgia players. The defensive line has Georgia players all over it. And you know, long story short, I know other teams probably play analysts or whatever, not talking about this, but this is the closing window a little bit for the Eagles. The Eagles got to win within the next 2 years, because I don't feel that Bradberry and Darius Slade Jr. are going to be there more than 2 years. Kalis has been flirting with retirement at 35, 36 years old, and Lane Johnson is 33, who could retire right now. So you're saying that the idea that they could have the chance and opportunity to lose pieces on the secondary, Graham and Fletcher Cox could be gone at the end of the season. So you see all these different pieces potentially being gone. They literally have to win now, because they can go next year and possibly lose four guys or more. What about the Cowboys? So now the Cowboys are in trouble, because apparently a couple weeks ago, they thought it was a smart decision to give up on a fourth-round draft pick for Trey Lance, who has never performed adequately or started over 10 games. To make things worse, versus telling Mike McCarthy and Dak Prescott that they acquired him and that they were going after him, they just traded for him and left Dak Prescott and Mike McCarthy clueless as to being first to acquire the news of the Trey Lance trade through social media and through ESPN and other outlets. Now, this is crazy. Trey Lance was going to be the third quarterback on the 49ers. And him coming to the Cowboys right at this point, he is the third string. Cooper Rush went 4-1 as a starter last year. There's no way that Trey Lance this late in the training camp and preseason has automatically been donned as the second quarterback of the Cowboys. I don't understand this move. I don't see how this helps the team. People say that maybe getting Trey Lance can light fire under Dak Prescott. No. Giving Cooper Rush some more reps lights some fire under Dak Prescott, because he has success as a starter in the NFL versus Trey Lance, who has not had any success. So this is a weird move. I don't know how to accept this or to look at this. I do agree with many players, many people who believe courtesy would have been good for Dak Prescott and McCarthy. I don't believe he's worth a fourth round draft pick, a guy who hasn't shown any promise, but getting a fourth round draft pick is pretty big. I mean, Isaiah Simmons is just like Trey Lance, a guy who had a lot of promise, hasn't really shown it, but Isaiah Simmons has played more on the field for the Cardinals, and the idea that the Giants got him for a seventh-round draft pick is amazing, because seventh draft pick can either be just okay or just another seventh-round draft pick. But what happens if Dak Prescott performs well the next two seasons and finishes his contract? And Trey Lance, what do you do with Trey Lance? Trey Lance not starting one game, not even starting five games, and you just get rid of a fourth-round draft pick for this guy? Not a great move by the Cowboys. We'll see what happens if it hurts the team. But, you know, one of the things that I haven't heard anybody talk about in terms of the Cowboys, and that's something I feel that no other team is talking about the Cowboys is the fact that Michael Gallup, a couple years ago, had a 1,000 receiving yard season, followed up with an 800 yard season, got a contract for about 4 or 5 years to make over $10 million a year. But ever since he had the 800-yard season, his statistics has gone down. The pass rate that he's been able to catch with being targeted has gone down. The yards per catch has gone down. He hasn't looked the same. And no one's talking about him. Everybody was talking about how Dak Prescott interceptions went down. Talk about Gallup and how he has not looked the same since he signed his contract, since he gained 800 yards. It's more or less the reason why the Cowboys had to get Brandon Cooks. Because Brandon Cooks is a better number two option with CeeDee Lamb versus having Gallup. Now, maybe, just maybe, by pushing Gallup to be the third string quarterback, we can see him catch more balls thrown his way. Maybe we see a resurgence and see him reach that 600 to 800 yard receiving yards and really help this team. Because if he continuously shows that he cannot catch at least 60% of the balls thrown his way, Dallas, we have a problem. Because then they technically don't really have a good third option. And the idea that they let Dalton Schultz leave, who was considered a Pro Bowl type tight end, hurts this receiving core even more. What about the O-line? Tyron Smith has been hurt every season. This season, he's going into this 2023 season healthy. But the cynical part of me says he'll get hurt. He'll miss at least 7 games, maybe more, because that's been his MO for the past 3 seasons or more. Then the second question is, the Cowboys just released Ezekiel Elliott. They did not replace him with somebody up on his level in terms of being an adequate second running back behind Tony Pollard. They're looking at Vaughn to be the new version of Sproles, another short, below 5'8 running back who was shifty and had speed. But if the running game's worse, you can't trust Tyron Smith to stay healthy. People are worried about Dak Prescott throwing too many interceptions. And oh, by the way, they have Michael Gallup, who is not living up to his contract. It's actually sad that he's even still on the team, but yet he is. Defensively, this is the reason why the Cowboys are great. Defensively, the Cowboys have one of the best defenses in the league. They didn't get worse. They didn't lose any major players in the D-line, linebacking crew, or the cornerbacks. They actually got better in their secondary by getting Gilmore to be the second option. So Gilmore and Diggs as a 1-2 option is amazing. Now, Gilmore doesn't have a lot of years in his contract, but the idea he's the second option with a team that has a great pass rush, it's just going to make the year crazy. The question is, how do you beat a team like the Cowboys? Is it with the tight end? I don't know, but tune in to find out. Now, my team, the New York Giants. Now, the New York Giants wasn't supposed to win 9 games and win a playoff game. And last year, they exceeded expectation. Now, I love Daniel Jones and what he was able to do with Brian Daboll and the adjustments they made. The New York Giants went from a 175 passing yards per game in the first 8 games with Daniel Jones as the starting quarterback to 226 in his last 8 games. That's a 51 yards improvement. That's about 22% better towards the end of the season. That's with a poor receiving core. That's with a bad O-line. But yet, he was able to adjust and do that. Now, this season, there's hope. Jones got paid. Barkley signed a 1-year contract with a few bonuses. Getting Paris Campbell, who's considered one of the fastest guys in the NFL. Jalin Hyatt, who is angry that he got passed up, who has said that his only gift that he has is his speed, but he can't really run routes. They traded for Darren Waller, who can either turn into a steal or a bust. But Darren Waller, everyone says when Darren Waller is healthy, he is considered a top 5 tight end. Then on top of that, in the draft, they were able to draft one of the best centers in the draft by getting John Michael Schmitz Jr. Hopefully I said his last name right. So I believe they have done a good job in terms of improving the receiving core and helping this offense passing game improve, while the rushing game still stays elite with Barkley and Jones as being the 1-2 punch for the New York Giants. Now, defensively, they improved last year, but they had a problem. They couldn't stop the run. They were so bad against the run, they were allowing opposing teams to average 144 rushing yards a game, which is horrible. They added two well-known D-linemen who are good against run-stopping in Ashawn Robinson and Raheem Rochus. I don't know how to say his name, but they're known to be great run-stoppers. They added Bobby Okri, I'll probably say his name wrong, to be the new linebacker, which is an upgrade since Blake Martinez. Then they traded for Isaiah Robinson, who they want to be a linebacker, but the truth is, ladies and gentlemen, he could play multiple positions. And because he plays multiple positions, the reality is he's not going to be that traditional just an inside linebacker the whole season. He's in the lineup in multiple different positions. Because of his height and because of his speed, he makes himself a very diverse defender who's going to be all over the place versus just always lining up next to Bobby Okri. Now, listen, people are saying that the schedule for the Giants is worse, and it's true. I think if the Giants stayed with the guys who they had last year, there's an incredible possibility that they wouldn't be able to repeat themselves like they did last season. And they may be even worse because teams have already made adjustments to those players that they had last year. But the Giants made enough moves, in my opinion, to improve and possibly even be even better than last year. But we have to wait and see, because right now they're going into the season, they're healthy, and that can also work to their favor. Last year, they saw many injuries throughout the team. They had at least 6 to 8 different inside linebackers starting for them last year. They saw Kenny Galladay never live up to his contract. Evan Neal, who looked overwhelmed in pass protection, and et cetera and so forth. To the Washington Commanders, who are 8-8-1 at .500, which is not bad. Their defense was one of the top 10 defenses in the league, but the offense was not better. For the past 5 seasons, ladies and gentlemen, 5 seasons, maybe more, the Washington Commanders have had at least 3 different starting quarterbacks start for them in the season. This season, they're going to start off with Sam Howell as their starting quarterback, a player who they drafted last year. Now, Coach Rivera is hoping that this team's offense improves. The Commanders went after Eric Bieniemy, who's an experienced offensive coordinator under Andy Reid, but always kind of got disrespected because Andy Reid called the plays. And while other guys actually on the offense have gotten opportunities to be a head coach and to be an offensive coordinator somewhere else, he stayed with the Chiefs. But this past season, he was available and thought, now's the chance. If he leaves the Chiefs and he shows the world that he can call a meaningful game, that he is worthy of being a head coach in the NFL. We'll see. We'll see if he could do it. Sam Howell is not Patrick Mahomes. They don't have a Pro Bowl tight end. So how does he work with this team? How does he manage a team with a quarterback who's never who hasn't played 16 games yet? We'll see. So who wins the division? Now, until proven wrong, it's the Eagles. The Cowboys are still the second best team. The defense is just too good. We'll see what happens with this team. If the receiving doesn't improve, if Gallup isn't the player who he was supposed to be, if Tony Pollard goes down, let's just put that out there. If Tony Pollard goes down, is the Cowboys a great team offensively? Will they lose games because they can't run the ball? I don't know, but we'll see what happens. Giants, number 3, I think they improve. I think the Commanders, again, I think this is going to be, again, a division where every team has a chance and opportunity, especially that they're all well coached, have an opportunity to be a 500 or better team. Now, the NFC North. Aaron Rodgers is gone. Green Bay, for the first time in more than 20 years, does not have an elite quarterback. The Lions are hoping their late season success transfers over into this season. The Bears, who have one of the most salary cap space, hopes that the offseason moves that they have made helps this team be better than they were last year. The Vikings are hoping that Brian Flores' presence can help a team that had one of the worst defenses in the league automatically become one of the best defenses in the league. So let's talk about the teams. So the Lions could do something they never experienced in the past 30 years. What's that? Win the division. Can you imagine that? The idea that for the past 30 years, not just the fact that they haven't really been to an NFC Conference Championship or Super Bowl, but add to the fact that they have never won the division. Now, one of the biggest things they need to improve early and stay consistent is the defense. Last season, they allowed 392.4 yards a game on defense. So the defense improving is the main thing that needs this team to improve in order to make the playoffs, win the division, and be better than last year. Now, looking at the NFC North, the Detroit Lions are somewhat like the the Washington Commanders of the NFC East, in the sense that the offense was so good, that was one of the reasons why they had a late resurgence in last season. One of the reasons why they finished strong and won the last game against the Packers. But the defense was what held them back from being even better. Just like the Commanders, that the offense wasn't that great. And you could say that the Commanders' offense is one of the main reasons why the Commanders did not make the playoffs and win more than 8 games. So basically, for Detroit, they've added some pieces on the secondary. Jameis Williams is going to be gone for the first 6 games because of betting. They have one of the best O-lines in the league. Jared Goff could potentially sign an extension, which is going to be crazy because they just drafted Hardon Hooker, former Tennessee quarterback, who could potentially miss the whole season due to an injury. But we'll see what happens. You know, until I see a good defense, until I see them, listen, if they really want to improve, Detroit has to allow 50 to 60 less yards per game on defense in order to really say that they're here to win the division and make a playoff run. If they're giving if they're giving up one of the worst yards per game on defense yet again, Dan Campbell's heart, I don't care what anybody says. The idea that Aaron Glenn got interviews for a head coach when he coached a team that had one of the worst defenses last year is mind-boggling, but he did. And Darren Campbell, even though he hasn't achieved a playoff game yet as a head coach, and all one of the division is still being praised. The pressure's on. Defense has to improve. Jameis Williams not being there for the first 6 games has to not hurt Detroit. The run game has to be good. Tune in to find out to see if that happens. What about the Vikings? The Vikings are still considered one of the best teams in the NFC Conference. And I find that even mind-boggling too. They just lost a Pro Bowl running back in Delvin Cook. Didn't replace him any. Last year, they didn't run the ball a lot or effectively. It was really Delvin Cook and nothing else. Can they improve that? Can they take this team and improve the run game? Or will this team still be a pass-heavy offense, which I don't like? I don't like pass-heavy teams because passing the ball, and especially passing the ball as effectively as they have last year, doesn't help the defense recover. Actually, it keeps the defense to be tired because if you don't stay on the field and score a touchdown, or if you're third and out quickly, or if you score quickly, the defense will have tendencies of being tired, and being tired allows yards. Even if they just allow 3 yards each time, or didn't get or didn't get a score or whatever, the idea that the defense has to be the main thing that improves, just like the Lions. There's no way that the Lions and the Vikings are one of the top teams in the NFC when they have one, number one, number two worst teams in terms of yards allowed per game. What about the Packers? Now, the Packers have Jordan Love. Do they strike gold again for a third time, have a young, promising quarterback learn at least a season or more under a all-pro, Pro Bowl, future Hall of Fame quarterback, and yet he performs great again in his first season and performs better than thought? Remember, Brett Favre played with the Packers. Aaron Rodgers came to the Packers while Brett Favre was still starting. The minute that Brett Favre went to the Jets and then to the Vikings, Aaron Rodgers was already one of the best quarterbacks. And actually, if you take a step back, the Packers aren't that bad. If you look defensively who they are, they probably have one of the best defenses in their own division. They still have a good offensive line. Dylan and Aaron Jones still are a great 1-2 punch. They did get three young wide receivers who can perform, who have a chance to perform great. They do have pieces to compete this season. They're not a lot worse than they were last year. Again, for another year, they have drafted a defensive player in the first round. But man, Jordan Love, if he ends up coming and performing good, the idea that the Packers striking gold yet again with another young quarterback and on 20-year plus right now in terms of a team that, again, for a third time, has a great quarterback. It's just kind of like the Steelers. The Steelers have had three great head coaches. Three. In the past 40-plus years. That's kind of crazy to think about that. It is also kind of crazy to think that the Packers are potentially have another great quarterback with them. And they're not going to go through a drought of back quarterbacks. This is crazy that that's a possibility. But again, if Jordan Love plays adequately, Packers have a chance of not just making the playoffs, they have a chance of winning the division just because they have a better defense than the Vikings and the Lions. What about the Bears? Last year, the Bears had one of the best running games in the league. They traded for DJ Moore on the draft time, where you saw the Bears draft picks go to the Panthers, and the Panthers give DJ Moore, who will definitely improve this game, now improve the passing game. Now, listen, they have it. I don't know how much better he will make the passing game, but the idea that the Bears averaged 130 yards passing game last year is not great. DJ Moore can maybe increase it by 50 yards, 60 yards. But if this still with DJ Moore under 200 yards, it's not going to be great. You could say that the passing game improved, but still below average. Now, defensively, they have improved. They got both one of the best linebackers in that free agency. Both can be a starting linebacker and a potential Pro Bowl on any team. But yet they chose to team up with each other in Chicago. The two quarter linebackers I'm talking about is T.J. Edwards and Tremaine Edmonds. T.J. Edwards was just with the Philadelphia Eagles and helped them anchor the defense that went to the Super Bowl. And Tremaine Edmonds just played for the Buffalo Bills and has been with the Bills and helping the Bills be one of the top teams in the AFC Conference and the best team in the AFC East. So this division is crazy. You know, the idea that the Vikings and Lions are being looked at the way they have been looked at, even though they had one of the worst defenses in the league, the idea that if they want to get respected and be adequate this upcoming season, the idea that they have to give up at least 40 to 60 yards in order to be considered adequate is 40 to 60 yards is a lot. It's not a guarantee. It's not impossible. But the idea that you have to do it makes me not have full faith in the Vikings or the Detroit Lions. The idea that LaFleur has led the Packers to an NFC conference as has experience of success makes me favor the Packers in potentially winning the NFC North, followed by the Lions, the Vikings, and the Bears. Now, the NFC South is tricky. The Panthers and the Falcons are not ready to say that they are definitely a playoff contender, but they are coming. The Buccaneers is a tricky team in the NFL because they still have great defensive pieces on their team. They still technically have two of the greatest wide receiver duels in the division and in NFL with Mike Evans leading the way, who could potentially be gone if the Buccaneers are not able to sign him to extension. Now, people are picking the Saints to make progress and return to the playoffs and return to being one of the top teams in the NFC South because they added Kerr. But I don't see Kerr as the main reason why this team could potentially just first be at 500 to win the division and be one of the best teams in the NFC Conference. But Michael Thomas. Michael Thomas is healthy and plays more games than he has played in the previous three games. The Saints will be a much better team, in my opinion. What about the Falcons? For two straight seasons, the Falcons have won 7 games. Last season, this previous draft, they drafted one of the best running backs in the league. And it's considered to be even the top 10 running backs right now in the NFL with Bijan Robinson. Now, I didn't like this move because I felt that the Atlanta Falcons had other moves to get. Tyler Allgeier looked good last year. So that's one of the reasons why I didn't think that this was needed, but they made it, and the rushing game has improved for the Atlanta Falcons with those two players. Now, Desmond Ridder has to be the clear replacement for Matt Ryan. They're hoping that he's the future versus being a bust. Now, you gotta like what the Falcons have done. The Falcons kind of did the Chargers kind of thing in the sense that they have multiple players on the team between Drake London, the tight end Pitts, and second receiver Hollins, and where those three guys are between 6'4 and 6'6. Now, last season, Pitts showed what some people, what a sophomore slump is. He went from a guy who's averaging about 60 yards or more per game in his rookie season to a guy averaging less than 40 yards per game last season. Now, he's a key piece if this team wants to improve. He's a key thing that if London improves this upcoming season, Pitts returns into performing what he was on his rookie season, the Atlanta Falcons are going to be better than most people think. And if Desmond Ridder is the future and can perform adequately, don't sleep in Atlanta. I'm just saying it's a what-if factor, but don't sleep on Atlanta, especially that they added pieces onto the D-line, the fact that they've added pieces on the linebacking crew, and the idea that they got Jesse Betts, one of the top safeties in the league this past offseason, and signed him away from the Bengals is crazy. Atlanta's coming. Got to remember something. They won 70 games with those teams. So they definitely could probably improve. How much more? Only God knows. But Atlanta Falcons are coming. What about the Panthers? The Panthers drafted Bryce Young, another quarterback needing a young quarterback, leading a team. Now, defensively, they're great. Offensively, things could be your problem. I don't think they have the receivers to compete with other teams. Their run game should be their main focus on offense, in my opinion. I think Miles Sanders and Chuba Hubbard are a great 1-2 punch. I don't think Adam Thielen and DJ Chark Jr. are a great 1-2 punch to start for them. Jonathan Mungo, hopefully he's something special and does something great. But the receiving doesn't look great in the Panthers. I think that's one of the things that could potentially hold them back versus making them take a step forward and potentially being a playoff team. What about the Buccaneers? Now, the Buccaneers a couple years ago won the Super Bowl. Last season, they were able to win, even though they had one of the worst running games in the NFL last season. And the idea that they threw over 700 times. Now, defensively, they're strong. There's no way that you could say that the Buccaneers have a horrible defense. Then the idea that they have Mike Evans and Chris Godwin as a 1-2 punch is great. But the thing that got worse for them in offense is not just the idea that they signed Baker Mayfield, but it's the fact that their O-line is bad. Tristan Wirfs is going from right tackle to left tackle, and it's basically a whole bunch of new guys on the O-line. With the hope, one of the things they're hoping is the run game. If the run game can improve, don't sleep on the Buccaneers also. It's a what-if factor again. What-if is always going to be a part of sports. Until we see things, it's a what-if situation. What if the running game improves? What if they stay healthier than they did last year in terms of defense when they saw guys go down due to injury? You know, what if the O-line is better than expected? Because Mike Evans and Chris Godwin can gain over 1,000 yards each. Actually, Mike Evans has gained over 1,000 yards every season that he's been in the NFL. And he has over 81 touchdowns in his career. He's a future Hall of Famer, in my opinion. The idea that even though he's missed three games some seasons, or even two games, and he still was able to have over 1,000 yards receiving is crazy. The only thing, he's unhappy and has put a deadline on the Buccaneers to re-sign him to an extension. And if they don't sign him to an extension by this upcoming Saturday, he has said that he will not talk about an extension during the season. Like everything else, that's fluid, because if the Buccaneers are a 500 team or better, he may renegotiate and stay with the Buccaneers. Again, I was talking about the Saints. Again, the Saints' defense is strong. I like the idea that they signed Jamal Williams, especially after Alvin Kamara will be suspended for the first three games. Again, like I mentioned earlier, everything falls on the shoulders of Michael Thomas being healthy. Him being healthy takes this team from being a team that definitely has an opportunity of just being at 500 or being a playoff team, but potentially being one of the best teams in the NFC Conference. So at this moment, because they have Carr, I put Saints as winning the division. I think the Falcons are going to shock some teams and be the second best team in the NFC South. Buccaneers would be third, followed by the last place Carolina Panthers. Now, the West is just a two-team race. It's basically just the 49ers and the Seahawks. I feel that the Cardinals are really giving up. It's sad but true. And the Rams are just embarrassing. Now, listen, a couple years ago, the Rams went to the Super Bowl and won. Even with Odell Beckham Jr. going down, they were able to go. They were able to win. But they have allowed pieces on this team to leave, and they've never adequately re-signed them. The O-line looks weaker than it did during the Super Bowl. They don't have a running game. Cooper Kupp is hurt yet again, and is potentially going to miss the first game or even more. It's just Donald on defense and no one else. I feel like if this team does not do well, I feel like in the trade deadline, we could see Stafford, Donald, or Cooper Kupp potentially traded from the Rams. Maybe that's just me, but I think it's a different possibility. The Cardinals. The Cardinals, again, are like the Rams that a couple years ago, they were in the playoffs with Kyler Murray. And the idea that they've lost pieces hasn't adequately replaced them. And they look like they're just looking to get one of the top picks next year. That's what it looks like. And that's what it looks like they're trying to do. And the idea that Kyler Murray could potentially be gone at his young age, and that the Cardinals are looking at the quarterback at USC, Clay Williams, is crazy, in my opinion. But we'll see what happens. Now, Seattle really impressed me this offseason. They drafted one of the best receivers in Jackson Smith. I'm probably going to say his other last name wrong, Nakabari. I like the idea that they drafted him. I like the idea that they drafted him because Tyler Lockett could be seeing his end in Seahawks ending pretty soon. But the idea that he can come and learn from the guys for at least one season, maybe two, before he gets before he starts more games is great. I think defensively they look stronger. They brought back Bobby Wagner. They made the D-line stronger. They got Witherspoon, who's considered one of the best cornerbacks in this past year's draft. They look like a stronger defensive team. They look like a better offensive team. Seattle could probably even be the best team in their division. Just saying, I just saying, the idea that they've made other things stronger. While we have seen the 49ers allow pieces of the O-line leave, and the O-line looks weaker than last year, and it looks even weaker than it did the last two years ago. They lost their right tackle this past offseason. Two seasons ago, they lost the starting left guard. The defense looks worse. They've given up on Trey Lance. Jimmy Garoppolo is gone. If the O-line's worse, can Brock Purdy and Sam Darnold have success? Can Brock Purdy stay healthy and be the starting quarterback the whole season? Will the O-line and the quarterback play be the main reason why the 49ers don't meet expectation? Well, like I said before, like the NFC East, until proven otherwise, 49ers look like they could win a division. The defense is just elite, and it's probably one of the main reasons why they win the division and possibly go back to the NFC Conference. But the Seahawks are coming, because if that defense can improve enough to be in the same level as the 49ers, watch out for the Seahawks. Cardinals are in third place, while the Rams will be in last. Rounding out, I feel that the Eagles have a great chance with this schedule the way it is. They have a great opportunity to win the first five games. And because of that, they have a great chance of being the best team in the NFC Conference. So they're probably going to be that's probably going to happen with them. The 49ers, Seahawks, and Saints run out because they win the divisions. I think that the Cowboys and Giants yet again make the playoffs. And I think that the Lions make the run out last playoff spot. I think the NFC Conference can be the Eagles, and here's the shocker, the Seattle Seahawks. Who wins? The Eagles. Now, I said earlier that I was going to play an excerpt from Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt was a great, great guy on the mic. And some people just got to listen to what he's going to say on the mic. Something he did, a promo that he did about maybe 9 years ago, maybe 10 years ago that he did in NXT. But it's so powerful on how and what he did there. Don't get mixed up and be scared away by what he says. Trying to look for it now. I'm sorry. But I think this is like an example. I'm a player right now. One of the reasons why he was a genius on the mic. Listen to how the fans respond to him. Listen to how he talks on the mic. Tell me if he scared you. Tell me if you believed what he says and was motivated. Well, you can't tell me, but here it is.
In this world, there are men who dream and never make it off their couch. There are men who dream and fail. And then there are men who dream and change the landscape of this world. People like Bray Wyatt. But what about you, man? That's what I want to know. Aren't you tired of feeling unwanted? Aren't you tired of feeling like an outcast or being stepped upon? Well, then today is your day. Because today is the day that Bray Wyatt decided he was going to change everything. Today is the day that hell froze. Today is the day that pigs fly. Today, me and my people looked at fear right in the eye and we said, Mr. Fear, sir, you are a liar. Today, I want you to go and I want you to tell all these so-called world leaders that they better heed my warning. Take notice to Bray Wyatt. Because today is the day that Bray Wyatt decided to bring down the machine. Today, we say goodbye for now. But if you need me, I ain't hard to find. All you gotta do is go look up in the sky and follow the buzzer. Oh, wait, one more thing. Time.